Today's daf, Mesechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Beis. And we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah, right there on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. So remember that we've been talking about the way in which the mitzvah to give the get is defined. We talked about the shlichut, we talked about the type of shlichut, we talked about milim mimsrom the shliach. But what hasn't become clear yet is the dinim of the attached to Na'im. So if you attach conditions, we have to see what those conditions imply, legabe the chalais of the get. So let's say a husband says, Zegitech imati. So this is your get if I die, or Zegitech bicholi zeh. This is your get. Rambam understands to mean the same thing. If I die from the result of this illness, or obviously if he says, Zegitech lachar misa, where he's clearly saying that the get should only be chal after he dies, that's not a get, because he needs to be able to give the get b'chayim. But suppose he says, this is your get mihayom, imati, or mi'achshav, imati. So then he's clearly saying the get should be chal now, if the tenai is mekuyam. So then that would mean, if he dies, the get was chal from before. I guess I want to discuss what the din is during that period, from the time that he gave the get till the time that the tenai is mekuyam. Now, suppose he says, instead of saying mehayom umati, he says mehayom ula achar mita. So then the question is, does that mean that he changed his mind? Mehayom, or actually leachar mita. Or does it mean mehayom, that the chalos should be today, if I die? So that would be the same thing as saying, me'ayom imati. So that is a suffix. Get, ve'eno get, we can't say for sure what that is, and because of that, it may be that it was retroactive, in which case it was okay. But it may be that he wanted it to be chal on the lachar misa, in which case it would not be okay. So because of that, we'll have to be machmer. And what happens? In May, choletzit v'lo mityabet. So she would still need chalitza, but it would be usur for her to do yibum, because she was divorced before the death of her husband. Zegitech mehayom imati micholiza. So now how about if you said it right? Mehayom imati, everything is good. But the question is, was the tenai mekuyam? The guy got better. He was walking around in the shuk, and then he got sick and died. Okay, so then omdimoto. We have to see whether the illness that happened after he walked around the shuk, imach mat choli arishon meit, so then there is a gate. Meilav eino gate. We have to determine medically whether it looks like the death was a result of the original illness, or whether he had actually recovered, and this is a new illness, and therefore he never made it tonight about this illness. Anyway, let's take a look at the beginning of the Mishnah. So it's clear that if a guy says im mati, it's the equivalent of saying la'achar mita, right? That's what you're saying. The same way that la'achar mita is not a kosher get, so too, the words imati is the same as the third case in the Rishah, and that is that it's not going to be kosher, because it's as if he said the get should be la'achar misa. But then how do you explain that the Mishnah then goes on to say that if he says mihayom imati, me'achshav imati, that's okay? Why is that okay? So that would mean, if it's okay, that the word imati does not mean after I die. Because if it meant after I die, so then it would obviously not be okay. So I don't get it. Rabbi, well, you don't get it because you don't understand the word im. Remember that in the Torah, im means if and when, right? Because sometimes we say, im kesef talveat ami. What does that mean? That doesn't mean it's up to you. You have a mitzvah to be tal, right? You have a mitzvah to be mizbach avanim. On the other hand, we have dozens and dozens of im's in the Torah that don't mean when, they mean if. So the whole thing is contextual. So imati is mashma shtei lishonot. It's mashma k'miachshav, and it's mashma v'yachar mita. It depends on the context. If he said mihayom imati, so then that's the equivalent of saying k'miachshav. The get should be chal now, and this is a condition like any other condition. But if he didn't say me'ayom, then we understand that the im means when I die, and because of that, there's no suffix, the get is totally possible. Okay, now, again, the Mishnah said, Zegitech imati lo amaklum, because she, obviously he meant, the get should be chal liachad misa, there's no such thing as a get liachad misa. But Rav Huna actually says that no, she still would need to do chalitza. So he's not sure if the husband died, and he died without children, and there's a brother, she can't just go and get married, because we're not 100% sure that the get was kosher. Because of that, she requires chalitza, apparently l'chumra. But how does Rav Huna fit that into the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, lo amar klum. Lo amar klum means it's a joke. What he said about this get is completely and totally meaningless. So how do you say that she would need chalitza? Says the Gemara, no, it means lo amar klum vis-a-vis matering her to people as an amon al-shuk. For that, she remains totally asur yom. She is a yavam l'shuk. But the problem is that liyavam nami asira, because of this chumra, she's also going to be asur to the yavam, and therefore she cannot do anything but chalit. But when, how do you explain then the next piece in the Mishnah? At the end, the Mishnah says that in the event that we don't know whether he meant to change his mind, and he said, me'ashav uli achar misa, so then it's considered to be a suffix. And what's the suffix, says the Mishnah? The suffix is that then you're going to need chalitza. Well, I mean, that pretty much makes it clear that the Reisha is saying you could just go ahead and be miyabe, right? Here, it's saying you can do chalitza and only chalitza. But apparently in the Reisha, it's not true what Rav Huna was saying, that she's only choletzet. Why is she only choletzet? You know, but sneezing, well, hold on a minute. You're right. The Mishnah is definitely not going like Rav Huna. That's for sure. The Mishnah is going aliba de Rabbana. The Rabbanan say that the only time that we have a suffix is where you said the words of Beferish that we're talking about, mehayom. Rav Huna, however, he paskins like Rabbi Yossi. Remember Rabbi Yossi's famous sheet that we've spoken about many times? Zmano shashtar mochiach alav. So therefore, now the real machlokas between the Rabbanan, it's not really the Rabbanan, it's Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, we're calling Rabbi Yehuda the Rabbanan here. So the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Rav Huna is talking about a case of momentous, not a talking about a case of our Mishnah. But still, it would be the same exact thing, except for a complicating factor. Somebody goes ahead, and he makes a mechira, or matana, and he says, mihayom uliachar misa. Now, over there, we don't have any suffix that the meaning of mihayom uliachar misa is that he changed his mind. First, he was saying mihayom, then he says uliachar misa. Over here, we do have such a suffix. Why is the difference? The difference is very simple. When you're transferring a property, you're always taking into consideration the possibility of a living will. Okay, what do we mean, a living gift? What do they call that today legally when you give it to a charity? Brucey, come on, you're a tax lawyer. What do you call a living...
I'm a patent lawyer, sorry.
Oh, a patent lawyer. Sorry. Okay. All right. I invent a way to give charity and still retain control over my property. What's that called? All right. Anyway, so how does that work? How does that work? It works indeed as two stages of transferring. First, let's say I want to give my kids my property, but I don't trust them because if I give them away my property, they'll let me starve to death. So what I want to do, I mean, knowing my kids. So what I want to do is I want to transfer, make a living gift, because I want to give one kid one thing, one kid another thing. So I do that. But I retain the rights to the perot during my lifetime, right? So that means that in the event of the father, let's say, is transferring this, when the father dies, then the son gets not only the field, but the right to the produce of the field. While the father is alive, he's only transferring him the legal ownership of the property. But he retains the rights to any of the income of the property. Okay, so if I make a statement of mehayom la'achar misa by a property, it's evident what I'm doing. I'm doing exactly that. I'm saying, mehayom, I'm giving you the guf, and la'achar misa, you get the full rights to be able to exercise your rights of the property. But when it comes to a get, doesn't make any sense. There's no two steps. Either it is a get or it's not a get. So in our Mishnah, we have this suffix. Okay, that suffix doesn't come into play at all in the question of transference from a property. However, suppose you did not write the word mehayom in the contract. You only wrote li'achar misa. Now, Reb Yossi says, in that event, it doesn't matter. Because Reb Yehuda says, well, I mean, if he writes la'achar misa, then the gift is null and void, right? Because, I mean, he can't give something after he's dead when he doesn't own it. If he died, his heirs own it. So how can he give it away? But Reb Yossi says, no, it doesn't make any difference. He does not have to say beferish from today. Why? Because there's a date on the contract. And this is called, Mr. Gavi, please write this down, Zmano Shashtar Mochiach Alav. That the very date that's written in the shtar means from today. Otherwise, what's the date there for? So if that's the case, Rav Huna, who's going on Libet Rav Yossi, says that when it comes to a get, that part is true. That if he wrote in the get, which obviously has to write a date in the get, that was part of the takana of the get. So therefore, if you hold Zmano Shashtar Mochiach Alav, so in the Mishnah, you're right. The Mishnah 100% is saying that if he just says imati, that's ridiculous. But according to Rav Huna, if he holds like Reb Yossi, that Zmano Shashtar Mochiach Alav, so then he would disagree with the first statement in the Mishnah. Why? Because the first statement of the Mishnah is if you just said imati, you mean after death. But according to Reb Yossi, since there's a date in the get, you don't mean after death. It's the equivalent of saying mi'achshav imati. So that would explain why the Mishnah is not a kasha. Hold on, excuse me. If Rav Huna follows Reb Yossi, then why is he talking about chalitza? What kind of chalitza? There's no suffix. According to Reb Yossi, this is a simple case of a man who said, this is your get, mehayom imati. The Mishnah says that that is a perfectly valid get, so why in the world does she need chalitza? Now, don't try to tell me. Who's going to try to tell me? You're going to try to tell me Rav Huna wasn't 100% sure whether the halacha is like Reb Yossi. So he said, look, could be that looks like Reb Yossi, and therefore she does not need Yibum, so you can't give her Yibum, but it could be that looks not like Reb Yossi, in which case it's not a good sign because it would be la'achar misa. So that's what he means. I'm not sure. Problem is that that's not true. Umi misafkele? Are you trying to tell me Rav Huna was not sure whether the looks like Reb Yossi or not? Want to bet? Well, Rabba Baravua, oh, I should tell you a story. Rabba Baravua got sick, and Rav Huna and Reb Nachman, they went to be Mavakar Chola, right? Now, while they're about to go in, so Reb Huna says to Reb Nachman, listen, you know, you can ask him. Ask Rabba Baravua whether the halacha is like Reb Yossi or not like Reb Yossi, okay? So Reb Nachman said, I'm not going to ask him his question like that because to me, Reb Yossi makes zero sense, okay? I'm not going to ask him if the halacha is like Reb Yossi. If I don't know what the heck Reb Yossi is talking about, it doesn't make any sense. So, time at Reb Yossi lo yadana. Halacha, boy, I'm going to ask him whether the halacha is like him and pretend that it makes sense to me. I'm not going to ask him that. So Reb Huna said to him, listen, we don't have time to argue. You ask him that, I'll explain to you after you come out, I'll explain to you what Reb Yossi means, okay? You don't need to understand Reb Yossi. Just go in and ask him, damn it. All right. So they go in. So fine. So Boiminei asks him, and Rabba Baravua answers him, Okay, I'm a Rav. I'll look at Reb Yossi. Okay. So the Menachem comes in. So it's all right. No. Explain it to me. I don't know what I asked him. It's all right. I'll tell you. Reb Yossi holds Zmano Shashtar Mochiach Alav. It's Beferish in Gavi's notes. So therefore, If he holds Zmano Shashtar Mochiach Alav, it's the equivalent of having made a t'nai. Beferish. Now, if you're going to tell me that Rav Huna wanted to know whether the halacha is like Rav Yossi, wanted Reb Nachman to ask him, I mean, Now, obviously, if he asked him that, so then he was makabel, but that's not locha. So what are you telling me that Rav Huna, maybe the idea over here was that Rav Huna wasn't sure, so he said, well, just in case that locha is like Rav Yossi, she should get chalitza? No, that doesn't make any sense. Okay, fine. You're right. That doesn't make any sense. I'll tell you what does. Misapkele could be that the case over here is, now, it's all very nice. In the case of the shtar that we were talking about, the machlokas, about if the shtar would have said, this get is liachamisa, and it would have had the date, right? That was the case of the transferring of the field, where Rav Huna, we had the machlokas with Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda, right? Now, the question over here is, you did not write a tanai in the get. You wrote a normal get as a date. Now you take that get, give it to a woman, and tell her, this is your get, but only imati. Now, did Rabbi Yossi hold that even if you add a stipulation, that's an oral stipulation, it's not in the contract, that we apply the date in the contract to the subsequent oral stipulation? Or Rabbi Yossi was only saying, if the contract had a date and also said, liachamisa, then it's the same as saying mayom liachamisa. But, I mean, to say that he had in mind the date in the shtar, when he gives it to the woman and he says, imati, maybe Rabbi Yossi would never have said such a thing. So maybe that's what Rav Huna was not sure about. I hold of Rabbi Yossi, but I'm not sure whether this case is really covered by Rabbi Yossi, because over here, the date in the get doesn't really have much to do with the fact that he made this oral stipulation that is a giter chachamita, right? Problem is, he's not. There is no such suffix in Rav Huna. I'll prove it to you. Rav Huna knows what the din is, even though it's an oral stipulation. So that can't be the problem. Because Lamaisa, as you know, the case that we have in the Mishnah later on that we've talked about, now a guy gives a get. This is an oral stipulation. He wrote the get. It's got a date in the get. He gives the get with an oral stipulation. This get will be your get if I don't come back within 12 months. And he dies in those 12 months. So then it's not considered to be a get because he wanted the get to be chal only at the end of the 12 months. So by the time the end of the 12 months came about, he is comfortably dead. And therefore, he cannot give a get. So that's not good. All right. So far, clear. Now, there's a braisa about that Mishnah. And it says like this, Rabotenu hiti ru'alina say, even in this crazy case, where he died, within the 12 months, our rabbeim, that doesn't say who they are, they said it's okay, she can go ahead and get married, she doesn't need chalitza, she doesn't have to worry about the brother, everything is a-okay. Now, we asked over there, in that bright, who are these rabbis? Amrev Yoram Shmuel, these are the famous Bezdin, they're very mega. They went ahead and they were matir using the shemen of Shemen Akum. So we always call them the Beidina de Shoru Mashcha. Okay, this is a reform court. It's actually, as we learned, it's actually Reb Yehuda Nesiya, who is Rebbe's grandson, right? All right. What's their logic? They hold like Reb Yossi. And Reb Yossi holds Zmanu Shashtar Mochiach Alav. So you see that Reb Yossi holds Zmanu Shashtar Mochiach Alav, even if there's an oral stipulation. So why in the world would Rav Huna be misupik if we see in the Braita that Rav Yossi holds exactly the same thing as Manu Shashtar Mokhiyach Alav, even if you went ahead and you made a Tanai Baal Peh, right? Okay, so you still haven't explained to me what's Rav Huna's problem. He knows that Lachas like Rav Yossi. He knows that Rav Yossi paskins that's Manu Shashtar Mokhiyach Alav, even in the event that you made a Tanai Baal Peh. I'll tell you, it's very simple. He knows Rav Yossi holds that. But he never got a psak halacha about whether we paskin like Rav Yossi in that case, did he? He got a psak halacha we paskin like Rav Yossi in the case of transferring a soda. Where over there, the stipulation was bichtav, was part of the shtar. Okay, you're telling me, okay, but Rav Yossi holds the same thing when it comes to Baal Peh. That's very nice. We're very happy to know Rav Yossi holds the same thing, but maybe we don't hold the Rav Yossi. in that extension. That he didn't know. So the Gabi that, he was Mesupik, Yalocha Rabbi Yossi, even with an oral Tanai, or in Alocha, maybe when it comes to adding Baal Peh, a stipulation, then we don't pass it like that. Nope, sorry, that doesn't work either. We happen to know that Rav Huna knew the answer to that. Oh, shoot, come on, man. I'm running out of options here. So, Umime Sapkale? Well, we really have a suffix? V'omar Rav, Rav said beferish, the halacha in this case. Hareze gitech imati, or shanimet, hareze get. And if he says kisha amut, or la'achamit, that's not a get. Now, explain to me what we're talking about over here. I mean, did he say this together with mihayom or mihakshav? I mean, if it's talking about what he said mihayom, I don't need Rava to tell me to finish a Mishnah, do I? I mean, this is the Rabbanan in the Mishnah. So Rava is going to leave the Rabbanan? Tzricha l'meimar? I don't need Rava to teach me a Mishnah. That's not. It says beferish in the Mishnah. Mi ayom imati arez aget. Okay? So therefore, Rav has got to be referring to a case we never even said ayom. And afal piken, he is saying that it's still a good get. How could that be? It's because Rav holds Rabbi Yossi. So since Zmanash Ashtar Mochiach Alav, he didn't need to say mi ayom because there's a date. And the date itself says mi ayom. So you see, Halacha Rabbi Yossi, even in a Tnai Baal Peh. So why was Rav Huna not sure? Excuse me? It might have been clear to Rava, says Rav Huna, well, it sure wasn't clear to me. I don't have to listen to everything Rava says. So Rava Pshitale, yes, according to Rava, everything is quite clear. And to me, it's not. Rav Huna Masafkale. Or you know what I could say? I could say even that Rav Huna actually agreed to Rava. And maybe the pshat is like this. Actually, Rava was talking Ali B'Rabbana, not according to Rabbi Yossi. And he did say Me'ayom. Now, you were saying, well, if he did say Me'ayom, what do I need Rava to teach me the Mishnah? It's not exactly the Mishnah. Look carefully. I mean, Rava has introduced some very different language, if you think about it. She'animet. Kishe'amut. That's not the case in the Mishnah. See, he's coming to tell me, Hani Lishnei Tzrichale, that the word She'animet is the equivalent im, mati, and the words Kishe'amut is the equivalent of Kalachermita. So in which case, he's going like the Rabban, and he's simply adding a little bit of Asber of what language is included in the dinim of the Mishnah. Now, this was all based on our original version of what it was that Rav Huna had said. But there's some that say, you misunderstood. Rav Huna never said that. He never said she needs chalitza on that case. He said it on the next case in the Mishnah, the Seifa of the Reisha. Ikar Masra Seifa. What's the next piece? Ze gitech la'achar mita lo'amar klum. And in this version, Rav Huna said, it's true according to Rabbanan. But Ladivrei Reb Yossi, even if he said Zekitech Lachar Mita, she would need to do Chalitza because Zmano Shashtar Mochiach Alav. So therefore, according to Reb Yossi, in a case where you say Liachar Mita, it's the equivalent of saying Mehayom Uliachar Mita. So in the same way that the Rabbanan hold Mehayom Uliachar Mita is perfectly okay, because then it means it's Chal retroactively, so according to Rabbi Yossi, it would be also choletzet. But he's comparing it to the case of Me'ayom Uliachar Mita. So therefore, it's a suffix. So, okay, that makes a great deal of sense, but it's trivial. Why do I have to say it? I mean, this is the case in the Sefer, right, of the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan say, if you say Me'ayom Uliachar Mita, we're not sure. Did you change your mind? Originally wanting it to be Me'ayom and changing your mind to Lachamita, or did you make it a Tanai? So we said it's a suffix. Well, according to Rabbi Yossi, the fact that Zmanu Shashtar Mochiach Alav means that the case in the Reisha is precisely the same as the case in the Sefer the Rabbanan. Zmanu Shashtar Mochiach Alav, read that as Me'ayom. The next thing you said was Lachamita. Okay, what does the Rabbanan hold about that case? Choletzet. All right. So what does Rabbi Yossi hold in the ratio of that case, which is exactly the same? Choletzet. So I don't need Rav Huna. So if the Sefer according to Rabbanan choletzet, so the ratio according to Rabbi Yossi choletzet by definition. So I don't understand. I still don't get it. What's he adding? Well, no, it could be. I'll tell you. I might have thought that in this particular case, Rabbi Yossi actually holds like Rebbe. What's Rebbe Shita? Rebbe Shita is that a get is a 100% kosher get, even if you said something confusing like mi hayom uli acharmita. It's still a perfectly kosher get. And if it's a perfectly kosher get, then you wouldn't need chalitza. So therefore, he's coming to teach me, kamashma and ravuna, that you should know that actually Rabbi Yossi does not hold like Rebbe about this. And Rebbe actually does not hold of Rabbi Yossi either. And he holds that we don't say Zman HaShashtar Mechiyah Chalav. And I'll prove it to you. I know Rabbi Yossi. And Rebbe cannot agree, because Rebbe can't hold of Rabbi Yossi. You know why? Because Rebbe taught that in a similar case, we'll see what that case is in a minute, Kazeget, this case is a good get, but not the case of Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold of Rebbe, because he also said in the Mishnah, Kazeh, he said also, same motion, Kazeh get, but not a Rebbe kind of get. Okay, could you bring me up to date? Because I don't know what price you're referring to. What Mishnah you're referring to? Rebbe Mahi? Yeah, sure. Here's the price. Me'ayom liachamita get ve'eno get. So say the Chachamim. Exactly. I mean, that's our Mishnah, right? Rebbe Omer, oh, Kazeh get. Oh, maybe that's a great get. That's fine. Okay, but what isn't a great get? What isn't is if you're relying on Rabbi Yossi about Zman HaShashtar Mochiyah Chalav. That's the point. Now, Rabbi Yossi. Want to know where Rabbi Yossi said this Loshon Kazeh in the Mishnah? Yeah, that's the Mishnah that actually we're going to be learning later this week, where he said, not this week, next week, yeah, that he said to Tanan, Kitvu Tnu Get Lishti. So the Mishnah says there, some guy says, write a get, give it to my wife, if I don't come back within the next 12 months. They write it. The next day, they write it. And they give it to her after 12 months. That's not a kosher get. Rabbi Yossi says, no, that is a perfectly good get like that. Because if the husband meant to say, I only want you to write the get after 12 months, which is apparently what the Rabbanan hold, right? Only if I don't come back, then write the get. So if he wanted to that, he should have said that at the beginning. He should have said like this. If I don't come back in the next 12 months, write and give a get. Instead, he said, write and give a get if I don't come back after 12 months. That's mashma. You can write the get now and give the get if I don't come back in 12 months. Fine. Okay. This is a question how to analyze the structure of the sentence and his words. But the bottom line is, why did he throw in the words kazeh get, huh? That's what he meant. Kazeh get. This is a good get. But not if he really said what Rebbe said that he said. Me'ayom l'achamisa. Okay. Next, we have our Mishnah that adds the case, which is the guy did get better, but we're not sure if he got better from the same thing, right? Now, what's the din over there? So it says, Zegitech me'ayom, imati micholize. And in the end, he got well, went around shopping, and then he drops dead. So now, let's see how that type of situation affects the din of a Shchiv Meira. I'm Rav Huna. So we've already talked about Rav Huna's approach that the dinim of a Matnat Shchiv Meira follow the same kind of dinim that the get of the Shchiv Meira, okay? What's the din of a Shchiv Meira if he gets better? He'd given away everything he owns. Then he gets better. The whole thing is bottle, because obviously no normal person gives away everything that he owns, keeping nothing for himself, unless he's convinced he's going to die. If the guy doesn't die, the entire thing is bottle of a bottle, and he now keeps everything that he supposedly gave away. All right. So therefore, the same thing is true in the get, says Rav Huna. Just like his matana, if he ends up getting well, so then the whole thing is bottle of a bottle. The same thing is true if he wanted to give a get. We're assuming he wanted to give the get because he thought he was dying. He didn't want his wife to fall for Yuma. But im amad, so then he would be chozer. Now, it also followed that magito, by the get, he does not have to say to give it. Because if he's sick and he says write it, We said it's the same thing as saying giving it, right? We had that before. So kiven d'amar ketovu, afagav d'lo amar tnu. So we take it for granted that in extremis, a person will leave out the details of what he wants and expect you to do what needs to be done. Right to get, meaning, and take care of it, take care of it, right? So, okay, so you didn't say the whole thing. So the same thing would be true of his matana. Once he said to give it, he didn't do a kinyan. Okay, he's in a tough situation. Big deal. He meant completely it should be his without any kind of kinyan. So now our problem is like that. If this is true, how do you explain our Mishnah? The Mishnah says that if a guy says to his wife that it's a get if I die, and if he gets up and he walks around doing his shopping and then he suddenly dies, so what happens? It says we have to take a medical assessment. Omdimoto. If he died because of the Chorli Harishayin, so then it's a get. And if not, then it's not a get. Now, if you're going to tell me that once the guy gets up, that the whole thing is Bato L'mavoto, what's this medical assessment? The guy got up, walked around in the shuk. That's the end of the get. Thank you very much. Okay? Now, he suddenly died. I couldn't care less. It's all a function of, was the time of Kuyam or not? I mean, that's what you said. So, Loma Liyumda, Ariyama, did he get up and go shopping or not? Oh, my, my, Bered, the Reviosi, Mishmei, the Rav, hold on a second over here. Yes, he got up and did the shopping, but there was never any time that he was healthy. He had bronchitis. Then he came down with pneumonia. And he walked around and did the shopping. No wonder he came down with pneumonia. And there, he never got healthy. So there, Ravuna also agrees. It's not the pshat that he was mavatal everything. It's just he's trying to tell you, look, did the pneumonia get there because he didn't take care of his bronchitis? If the doctor says to you, yes, this is essentially an extension of his original bronchitis, so then fine, then that's the tonight. If I die from this illness, well, he did die from this illness. What do I care if he did the shopping and made himself worse? Wait a minute, but the Mishnah says he was Ahmad. Doesn't that mean that he got well? No. It means he was Ahmad from his bronchitis while he was sick with his pneumonia. But it says he went around in the marketplace. Yeah, he went around on the marketplace, coughing his lungs out, walking on crutches, having oxygen. Yes, he walked around. He's an idiot. Okay. What does that prove? So, but he still went directly from his bronchitis to his pneumonia. So what's the Mishnah telling us? It's telling us that Hakamashmalan, that only in this case, if he was walking around with his oxygen tank, then he needs an umdana. But if he was never walked around and he had bronchitis and then he got pneumonia and he was hospitalized the whole time, we don't need an umdana. That is called dying from the same illness. See? Oh, that's very interesting, says the Gemara, because then that would prove, I think, you're trying to tell me, Shema Mina, that a Shchiv Meira, who was sick, let's say with a very severe bronchitis, and then he ends up getting pneumonia, and he dies from the pneumonia. So then that would mean that the Matana is still a Matana. Because, I mean, you were comparing it to the get. You're saying, if he never actually got well, he doesn't have to die from the same exact bacterium. So it's the same thing. He didn't take care of his terrible bronchitis, and he died from pneumonia. Is that true? Yes, it is true. Ian, absolutely. The Omer of Elazar Mishmei de Rav. It's actually a psak from Rav Shchiv Meira Shenitak Micholi Lecholi Matanato Matana. So basically, the way we understood it makes perfectly good sense. Now we have a good understanding of the nature of the Mishnah. Whew. Wonderful. Thank you, those who were Moser Nefesh, to come to our Daf Yomi so that we wouldn't have to lose a Daf tonight. And that gives us a chance to stay right on target, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow morning. Kol Tov. We're especially grateful that the Big N has been there the whole day. Let me tell you, it's been a tough day for the Big N. That's great. A whole new world has begun. And Yotam and Raziel, that's great. Good to have you. Okay. Laila Tov, everyone. Kol Tov. Besurot Tovot.